Oh, am I in another? I've got the chat open on the side just to say hi to everyone. So excited to, this is our very last call. Well, not really at all. As a matter of fact, it's not our last call. How come I'm not seeing anybody in the chat? There you are, Gail. Okay. My chat always acts funny. I don't know why. Doug is setting something fabulous up. So we're very excited about tonight. Now, just remember, this is the last call of the 7-week intense part. Then we move into the integration phase, which starts next week. So we start every first week of every month. You get a call with Doug and I. So it's kind of like we just keep going, and then we have a month, and Anna will have all kinds of really cool things to tell you about. Yay, Australia's in the house. I know, can you believe it's been 7 weeks already, right? It's crazy, so crazy. So I'm just going to wait till a little bit more bunch of you are here. So what we're going to do tonight is we're going to go over, just briefly go over module 6. We're going to definitely answer some questions, but we want to really focus on one section of module 5. So we're going to go back. What we're going to do is we're going to take you on a magic carpet ride into the other class. Woo! And you're going to see, I think there's over 500 Oracle messages in there now. I'm not sure. But they grew it over there. And we're going to get to do readings for you guys off of their Oracle. Okay. So it's going to be a little bit of juggling, but you're going to get a chance to see how incredible it is and how, and what we've built for you, and just what you're going to grow yourselves in your living Oracle and how it's done. So we'll bring Anna up also at the end. Not the end, like around 2/3 of the way through. As soon as we get to that Oracle, she's going to also take you through how we build it. Alrighty. Okay. We're so cool. Yes, you're very cool. Cincinnati's in the house. Who else? We're at 88. As soon as we get to 100, will the two Oracles be combined? No, they can't be combined. There's no way that we can cut and paste that from over there. And it's really their thing, right? You'll build your own, and it'll grow and grow and grow and grow because you'll keep adding to it. You just keep adding to it when you feel like it, and you'll get an epiphany. You go, I'm going to add this. And yeah, it's going to be very cool. Very cool. So drop Facebook chat.
No, it's not for you. Don't worry about it. That's for Anna.
And you did it to, oh, yes.
Is I can't do it. I don't have a choice. It's the only way to do it.
Hey, awesomeness. Anna will have to send that to you because I
can't. Yep, she's got it. She's on it.
Perfect. That's great. Oh, and you got the shaman cards.
Thank you. It's the launch day, Colette. That's exciting.
I'm so happy. And if you guys would, if you love it, I'd love for you to go on Amazon and rate it. What's the name of that wild divine? It's like, I got to move her out of the first place.
Wild unknown.
Oh, wild unknown. That's right. Jesus. Why do they love her so much? I'm kidding. I love her. She's actually going to be one of my guests on my radio show in the next couple of months. We've been communicating. So I love that you love them, Leslie Norris. That's so great. Put you and Doug on Rate My Professor. Rate My Professor? That's hilarious.
There is.
That's very funny. So I'm actually going to pull a card from the Mystical Shaman Oracle for us tonight. Yeah, very different in the two. Yes, of course, Kathy, would be very different in the two living oracles because it's yours. It's your special one. So you got to remember, if every single person in here participates, if each one of you puts 3 messages in there, it's going to have be over 600. No, Gail, I did not. I went to a different course. I never took his course. We're really good friends. So I've read all his books, and but I've actually studied many, many years ago at another institute. And that doesn't exist anymore. Oh, you found my songs on SoundCloud. I'm so thrilled. Okay, so let's pick 3 cards from this oracle, and then let's pick, or maybe 2 cards from this oracle and 2 cards from whichever one you want, Doug.
Okay, I've got to get my cards. I'm realizing I don't have them at my desk. Give me 2 seconds.
Oh, okay.
Talk amongst yourselves. I'll be right back.
Yeah, just talk amongst yourselves. You know how I get up and go somewhere. Let's do it. Okay, so I'm going to pick, what does the spirit of the Mystical Shaman Oracle have to say to the entire class tonight about your journey and Oh, I'm yawning. Oh, the witness. That's so true. And the serpent. So I'm going to read it from this booklet. And this is the card. How beautiful this is. The witness.
I love these cards. So gorgeous.
Isn't it gorgeous? And yeah. Then here's the serpent. I know Jenna did a most, she was so inspired when she did this deck. Like, we just followed the, you know, the push of spirit, and, you know, it was great. I mean, we were a little pushy on what they were supposed to look like, but nobody took anything personally. We just knew that we were here to serve the deck, and the spirit of the deck wanted to speak to all of you. So here's the essence of all of us tonight, right? I know my favorite's that one too. Vision Quest is so beautiful, and also Middle Way I love. Okay, so the essence, the witness observes without engaging in any action. What did we learn in Oracle School? The observer. Right? So that's by cultivating inner stillness, we are able to assess any situation from a higher perspective and make better decisions. Now, this is so important given this is Mercury retrograde. In Aries, thank you very much. Last week, woohoo! I do not want to repeat last week again.
For no, ma'am.
Long time. No. Okay, so that would be a no. And then it says, when we can be present for someone else's difficulties with stillness, then we're able to truly hear them and give better advice. Sometimes we can be so still that we are a mirror for the other. Then, through our presence, they will receive their own answers. Right? Amazing.
And this is the witness, right, Colette? The
witness card, exactly. Yeah. So it's, again, about holding space for each other, but being detached. So not engaging and taking the world personally at all. Like, that's really, really important to take into account. So here it's upright. I chose it upright. So the invitation is upright. When it's reversed, it's called the medicine. The invitation. The witness that has been by your side all along is now ready to become your ally. You thought you were the doer, but today you discover that things happen when you get out of the way. Witness creation unfolding before you. Change reality by finding stillness and letting your true intent reveal itself. So that's a really important piece. I was looking at the news today and just seeing so much energy around dysfunctional things and thinking to myself, does anybody know what their motives are? And like, same thing happened. I got trolled on my main Facebook page by, and I understand this is, I've had a long talk with Alberto and Marcella about this. There are people who believe that we've misappropriated indigenous teachings, but that's their expertise. And actually Marcella is part of the indigenous matrilineal line of shaman in Chile. But it doesn't matter because it's always going to be that. And so we had this great talk about the fact that every single one of us is indigenous to this earth, that earth medicine is all our medicine. So that was also important for me to hear, given that I came with the mystical piece to the mystical shaman. I brought the oracle to show them how we create an oracle, and they brought the symbols. So I had to show them how to build a lexicon. In other words, what's the vocabulary, and then how do we make this work? So it was a very interesting thing. And we need to bring it into the future. There's no point in just keeping it. You know, there's, as a matter of fact, many indigenous tribes from all around the world, they want to share this with us. So it really is, it's interesting. It is a very healing and loving deck. So the serpent is the life force of Mother Earth. The coiled serpent of the Kundalini brings passion, healing, and renewal. And by the way, that chakra meditation is about bringing the Kundalini right forward, right? When you look at that meditation that you did on the chakras and the animal guides, you'll see that that was also bringing up the Kundalini. They've invited us to learn their medicine. Thank you, Gina Maria. Hey, there you are here. I never know where you guys are going to pop up. So it says, she offers us the fruit of the tree of knowledge in the Garden of Eden and remind us to shed the past the way she sheds her tired old skin. Serpent comes to offer you the forbidden fruit that will set your passion and creativity free. Now, that's also, we want to also take a look at the actual true history of earth medicine and earth-based cultures, which is actually the goddess culture. This is all the academic research I've been doing for this deck I'm creating and the body of work that I'm creating after this. And so the serpent and the cow were both symbols of the goddess culture that were matriarchal and matrilineal. So when you read the Old Testament and the story of Genesis and that whole story of Adam and Eve, which is bullshit, this is why they made the serpent evil. And in fact, the serpent is not, right? The serpent is actually representation of the goddess. And so she offered the tree of knowledge. So the way it was described was, anyway, just giving you a little piece of information. I don't want to get on a soapbox here, but I've learned a hell of a lot about this. So again, forbidden. What is the forbidden fruit? Well, the forbidden fruit is knowledge and gnosis, G-N-O-S-I-S. And what we teach here, oh my God, Gina Marie, I haven't even started. It's overwhelming. I could only do so much, but I've been through about 12 books now. I'm like old texts and stuff that I from anthropologists, women anthropologists and archaeologists and getting a different perspective, even some scientific stuff, which is really interesting. Do you know that we're all born female first? Like when we're in the embryo, all embryos are female. They become male because we need them. That's so cool. Okay. So what is that? The knowledge. So what we teach in Oracle School is that you have a direct dialogue and the ability to communicate directly with spirit. And the consciousness, this is what I love about this deck, is that it also a little bit more masculine because it gives it's a balance of feminine and masculine in this deck. So there's a peaceful harmony and beauty between the two. So this is also part of it is, how do we know? What do we know? And what do we really feel truly inside our skin? Very, very interesting. So the serpent power of the Kundalini is stirring within your chakras, gently asking you to embrace its mystery. Shed the old skin that you have been so attached to. Welcome the vulnerable pink underbelly that will bring you a fresh experience of your life. Your passion and sexuality are awakening, and this can be scary. Trust the wisdom of serpent to transform your sensual energies into beautiful original manifestation. Now, this can also represent creative, right? So like it doesn't necessarily mean sex or sexual. It's like the power of creation, the ability for us to be fertile with ideas. And yes, it could be for those of you who are a little younger, not that I'm pretty still, I'm a juicy girl myself, but if this is part of what's happening for you too, this is saying that you have to, it's all of life, the sensual part of life, not just the mental, right? We can also get very caught in our head when we do this work. I know it's very interesting. It's very, very interesting. Okay. So Doug, what were your cards?
Well, interestingly enough, I decided to go with Wisdom of Avalon for my cards, which is, I thought, let's go with the first deck and the most recent deck.
Yeah.
So I went back to the start, one of my favorites, and the cards I pulled were Disruption first.
Yeah.
And then the Queen second. And, you know, what I kind of interpret from these cards for us is the Disruption talks a lot about the beneficial value of change and shift, and how when things happen, it's often a time of cleansing. It's a time of, it may feel like disruption, but it's a time to really kind of retrofit and rebuild and go back and take a look. And I realize that's what we're in right now with Mercury retrograde, yeah. Right? So now is a time, I think for me, especially what I kind of picked up on this, and I'll offer to everyone, is this, that this is about not letting the disruptive things that are happening in our world or in our lives right now be scary, but instead let them be something that we can trust that there is something adjusting. There is an adjustment that's happening with this disruption, a real realignment for sure, or a reset is occurring. Yeah. Now, I think add to this, and Colette, I'd love to hear what you have to say about both of these cards, of course, but the second one is the Queen, which I lovingly refer to. I don't know if I've ever told you this. I call this the Sex and the City card.
The Sex and the City card,
yes. Because it's all about sex and girlfriends and feminine power. And so I call this the Sex and the City card whenever I do a reading with it. And one of the things I will say, though, about this, is what I love about the Queen is that she is always there to remind us of our self-worth and our self-esteem.
Yeah, and friendship.
And friendship. But I really was drawn as I was looking through the kind of the text in the book that's part of what this is, that even kind of going with disruption, mm-hmm. let's remind ourselves of our self-worth. I was doing some work on some content that Colette's done recently this afternoon. I've been listening to Colette for a little while this afternoon on video. And one of the things that you talked about in that teaching was about self-worth and knowing that we are worthy of that which is good, that our self is worth that, the prosperity mm-hmm. that we want to have in our lives. And I think there's something about reminding us of our self-worth and also reminding us about when we are in these disruptive times to lean into our friendships that we have, those meaningful connections we have with people, that we're not alone, just as a reminder mm-hmm. In this process. So as we come together in this course, in this program, you know, it may feel like there's some shifts happening. It's the last week of the school before integration starts and all those things. Yeah. But the reality is we've built a community. You have relationships you've created here. And so that's what I kind of picked out on those two. Any additional thoughts, Colette, that you would have?
Yeah. So anytime that we let go an old idea about ourselves, right, it feels like, well, we repot. It's like repotting. Again, we want to talk about taking the plant. Like now you are in the planter for the 7 weeks, okay? You've been in there absorbing all the stuff we're shoving in the dirt and everything. You're like, this is way too much. Oh, my God. Right. And now we're going to take you out of that planter and stick you in a new pot for the next 5 months. Right. Mm-hmm. Is that 5 months? Right. So, mm-hmm. I think it's 5 months, 4 or 5 months. And so now you're feeling like, huh? Now what happens? Oh, what does it feel like? Because when you've got us on the phone every week, it's like, oh, it's the call. We're always doing something. And then you get, it's different because you're on your own. You've got us once a month, and then you have Anna a couple of times through the month, which is your practice time with her, which is fantastic. People are loving it in the other class. Like, she's going to be so busy. So the disruption is all about routine. Our routine is changing, and that's okay. And we came to Oracle School to be better versions of ourselves and more of ourselves, right? Like, I'm sure everybody in this class, like, personal mastery was personal, and now we're recognizing that the universe is really alive and it is talking to us through our soup, through our coffee cups, through our dinner plates, through our meditations, through chakras, through animals, through like epiphanies. Like, all of a sudden it's like, wait a second. Right? And I love Karen Fogel says she's gotten so much better looking since starting Oracle School. Hey, why not? I'm getting younger all the time just because of you guys. So it's the idea too that, you know, that you keep evolving and you keep shedding skins, right? The second card, which is the Queen card, which to me is a feminine way of sovereignty, which is about collaborating. So much as I love Doug's version of the Sex and the City card, I have to be honest, I'm probably the only person that hated that show. I didn't like any character. I thought they were the most irritating woman I've ever seen.
I won't say that again on our calls.
People like these people.
They are a little annoying.
Oh, they're so annoying. But anyway,
the Queen.
The Queen. But it is about collaborating. And that is what shared wisdom is about. It's about collaborating. And it's about learning, you know, reinforcing also how we communicate with each other. I think last week, everybody just needs a hall pass. You should have seen what happened in the Good Tarot Room. Oh my God, people lost their shit in there. I know nobody in here, I think, is in that room. But, you know, so it's like, you just have to go, and just keep moving on. And that's also part of disruption, is letting things go and not keeping holding on to things if they've challenged you, right? And moving into a better version of yourself. And the only way you do that is sometimes you bump up. You bump up at yourself. I've been bumping up against some stuff around my family issues lately, you know, since my sister and I are you know, having a closer relationship. So when I, you know, we all do the same work as you do, by the way, all of us, myself, Doug, Anna, we are in here with you guys. So we want to make a new story from the old. Exactly. So that's also the disruption, but it's also the collaboration, the feelings of, you know, feeling good about your creative partners, because we're all creative partners in here. And so that friendship, that the camaraderie, which is the only thing that I liked about Sex and the City, was that there were four girlfriends that hung out together, right? There really is a camaraderie that you feel in here, although our main criteria in here is not the community. The main criteria for Oracle School is the learning environment. So we always want to keep that in mind. It's like, how do we make the learning environment the highest good for everybody? Right? Like, it's amazing. Okay. So, oh, Diane just got her deck right off the porch. She goes, I gotta love Amazon. I know. And I think Amazon comes in your door. Yes, that it's a great tribe. Exactly. And I love it, Robin. Yes, I've seen the readings have been eye-opening and fantastic. And the more you do it, the way we teach it, it's very different than going to a psychic and getting a reading or getting oracle abuse because you've had too many. It's getting into sacred conversations with people. And FYI, if you all know, too, that about how we all do a circle, you know how I do this meditation at the end pretty much every week, right, Doug? We do the circle meditation. Okay. So that also is the circle of wisdom was also from the goddess culture. That began in that Neolithic and Paleolithic culture. I mixed them up, which came first, the chicken or the egg. But anyway, it's all about circles and things that are circular. And we are a circle. And it is a continuous, like the completion, the orbis that's in this deck too. So we remember that we are a circle. We are stories in motion. We recycle. We move forward. We learn again. We spiral. You know, we have nautiluses. We have fractals. So this is this whole concept that, that, you know, is something that is in nature, and it is in our nature as spiritual beings having a human experience, relearning how to communicate with the spiritual technology that we have lost because it was annihilated on purpose. But don't get me started. That's also part of my research. I have so much to say about that. Oh my God. The year of the dog is the sexual fire, the erotic instinct, which is found at the very root of our seminal system. Oh, how fascinating. Well, I am an earth dog. It's the year of the earth dog. So I'm looking sexier, I guess. I don't know. So we got to think that way, everybody in here. All right. So let's get on to our night. So let's go. Doug, do you want to grab some questions first to see if we have any questions, or do you want to just go straight?
I have not gotten questions. I will pull questions from Facebook. I've been answering some online. A couple of people did ask questions about as you get to know a new deck, which I may post something on Facebook on that rather than take up our time tonight, because I really want us to get to the Living Oracle.
One lady did ask something, and I don't know who it was. I think it was Judy. She asked about the pineal gland and cleidons. So I want to talk briefly about the pineal gland because many of you are science geeks like I am, and I typically don't teach about that in here, but I do in our mastermind, right? So which you guys are not part of. Some of you are, but some of you are not. So the pineal gland is the gland. It's actually that looks like the eye of Horus in Egypt. So it looks like that. It's a small gland. It's the back of your head, and it secretes chemicals that enable us to, if you're going to, for all intents and purposes, tune into the invisible. So it is through the pineal gland that they say is your third eye, even though it's back there. But that is the awakening of the pineal gland allows us, yes, to tune into cleidons because it is an awareness. So the more, yes, it's been dormant, we can learn how to activate it exactly. And we activate it through meditation. One of the things that we're doing, that's actually part of what I'm doing for an entire weekend with my mastermind, is doing a pineal gland activation. And I used to teach this years ago. What I didn't know years ago when I taught it, because I had learned it from somebody from England who didn't know how to deactivate. So I'd be like left like with these, so I had to understand that you bring it up and then you got to deal with bringing it down, like a tuning fork. Exactly. So we can learn to tune into it and then also to turn it down because it can be exhausting. So it's like, how do you open it and close it? Open it and close it. So you go in there. That's what these meditations that we've created for you in the Envision process is active imagination activates the pineal gland. So whoever asked that question was a brilliant question. I'm glad you asked it. So I don't know who it was. I don't remember the name of the person, but it was very, very smart. So it is an actual physiological part of our mechanics that enables us to tune into the invisible world. Okay, Doug.
So a couple of other questions we have. Do you have to eat the soup to do the readings, or does it matter if you...
You should eat the soup. And what I suggest, if you don't want a lot of soup, this is so much, it's very easy if you just put a cup of soup in the bottom of your bowl. Like, you know, just a cup, 8 ounces. Put it in the bowl, and then, like, that's not hard to eat 8 ounces of soup or 6 ounces of soup. And then what you do is you take it, then you flip it over, and then you let it dry, and then you flip it back over. So if you don't want to eat a whole bowl of soup, like I love soup. I'm a big soup. I will eat like giant bowls of soup. You might want to, if you don't like soup, make a tiny bit. The other thing is, if you don't want soup, you can also do it with Turkish coffee. Turkish coffee is how I learned how to do this from my father when I was growing up, even though my mother told him he wasn't allowed to do it. So we had a lot of mixed messages in my house about the coffee grounds and what they were. But it's big print tasseomancy is what I'm teaching you. Yogurt, fried eggs. Eggs are awesome. Anything gooey. Where's Anna? Where did Anna say something?
Yogurt.
Anna uses yogurt. Interesting, Anna. Yeah. Yogurt with stuff in it, right? So you can, anything that has some type of grit in it, like even oatmeal is amazing. So it's like, right, Michelle Taylor's, you had to disconnect. Exactly. You know exactly when you disconnect. Tea leaves, Jen, you're doing it the old-fashioned way. That's great. Yogurt is good. And if you put in something in the yogurt like that browns it a tiny bit, like, for example, brown sugar, or you can put agave syrup in your yogurt, or you want to put like a blueberry, something that's darker, cherry in there and mix it all up, then it will also give you kind of like a unique sort of patterns in different colors. Spaghetti sauce is good too. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Next.
Yep. Couple of other questions. Some people have asked about the conception of the Mystical Shaman Oracle deck. When and how did the initial spark arrive? Who approached whom? How did the dance of creation begin? You've spoken about your other cards conception. We've been wondering.
I'll answer that. No problem. Do you want to keep talking, saying that?
Because no, that's it. That's okay. The question.
So I will tell you guys the story because it's good for you to know, given that it's nice to know how the deck that you are using, the presiding spirit in the deck, has a relationship to me, but also to Alberto and to his wife, Marcella. Now I was, so here's how it happened. So I studied shamanism, back in the, I'd say 30 years ago for about 2 years. It was fascinating to me because I was obsessed about anything. You know, everybody kept telling me I had a Native American spirit guide, and then somebody else said I had an Inca spirit guide, so I wanted to know. So I bought a lot of books and I read, and then I went to study a number of courses over 2 years with a school that's no longer in existence. Anyway, and I met somebody. I wrote about it in my book, Messages from Spirit, and also because of my Mongolian ancestry. My father insisted we were connected to Genghis Khan and that we were connected to Mongolian shaman growing up, right? So I just got all into that. And actually the word shaman is a Siberian word, and it means that he who, or she, because they're female, she who crosses the bridge between the seen and the unseen. So anyhow, I followed Alberto out of curiosity over the years because I found his work in medical anthropology to be interesting. He's had lots of teachers. I read all the Carlos Castaneda's books. So I was friends with Miguel Ruiz. And, but again, my expertise is in oracles. It's not in shamanism, right? It's that's not my area. It's an interest, and I have great respect for it. Just because I've studied it doesn't mean it's my thing, right? So anyhow, so I became friends with Alberto at Hay House. And so over the years, we were speaking at, and also Medicine Woman, all the Medicine Woman, Lynn V. Andrews. Do you guys ever read her books in the 80s? I've read every single book, Medicine Woman, right? Did you read them, Doug? Right, the old books, right? And Jamie Sam's Medicine Cars, Medicine Woman. Yeah, I mean, that was my thing. I loved it. I loved all her books. I didn't care if she made them up. I just loved them. And then Orion Mountain Dreamer. So, you know, I found great reverence in earth-based spirituality. I was newly sober. It was 32 years ago, and I was on a path to discover something that was meaningful. So fast forward, we would always see each other at events, Alberto and I, so we made friends. And I had wanted to do a shamanic deck, but I didn't feel that I had the integrity to just create it for the sake of creating it. So they wanted to do a deck. Alberto wanted to do a deck. They didn't know how really to create an oracle. He tried to do one years ago. He showed me his manuscript and I was like, nah, no, we're going to have to do this from scratch. So I brought my mystical piece to them. We all met, actually Alberto and I met in New York, spent a number of days together, and we allowed the spirit of the deck to come through us while Marcella was in Chile on Skype. So first Alberto and I created the architecture of the deck. Now it was really important. Alberto has a lot of integrity, and that was the other thing. I wanted to work with people who I liked and who had integrity and who were really doing something very, you know, important. And the Inca shaman that came just loved me, and they wanted to bless me all the time and spit on me with the holy water. So I was very intrigued. And then I did get a special ceremony and blessing, and they were fascinated with the oracle. They have coca leaf oracles. So they were really interested in my expertise in oracles, because they have their own divination. So there were a number of times we met at the Omega Institute, and then we met and created the deck. And I have to be honest with you, it's a funny story, you guys. It was hilarious because I felt when I was making the deck, I feel like I'm the leader, right? And Holly Rose, you will get the biggest kick out of this because you worked with Alberto, right? So you know what he's like. And I was like, he's like a South American macho guy, and he wanted to be the boss, and I wanted to be the boss. And I felt like the spirit of the deck didn't know who he belonged to. And I realized that the spirit of the deck felt it was two timing when it was talking to me. So I realized, oh, okay, you can't serve two leaders. I'm going to give it to Alberto, which made sense because the symbolism, but I had to learn some ego stuff. I really got tested on my own need to control it. So that was really amazing. And then the spirit of the deck wouldn't talk to me. And it wouldn't talk to me until it had a ceremony. And I kept dreaming of these like beings and like wanting a party. And I finally called Alberto and said, like, what the heck? I don't understand this. We created this. It's my, and it doesn't want to talk. And they were like, well, talks to us. Fine. I went, so, well, the Peruvian shaman, you know, came to bless it. And I'm like, well, you need to bring a ceremony in and I need to be part of that circle. So they did one and my friend Patty stood in for me in Chile. It just started talking to me, but it was very clear until I gave it a coming out party, it was not going to have anything to do with me. And I sacred. I've never had this experience ever, except the crystal oracle deck that argued with me about where it was placed. It was cheeky. So it is male for me. The spirit of the mystical shaman deck is male. It may not be that way, for example, for Marcella, who has a matrilineal matriarchal shamanic line of wisdom that she works with in Chile and around the world. She does women's circles. So for her, it could be feminine, but for me, it is distinctly masculine, and it's totally lovable and very wise and can be very stern. And I do think it's the energy that Alberto brought to the deck. As we know that none of my decks are airy fairy, as you know, this guys, right? And it's really that there needed to be a real integrity and meat depth to the deck. And of course we did get that in a simplest form. So we had some of my things that I wrote were this long, and we had to like cut them down to like four sentences, because the point also was this deck wanted to be simple because earth medicine is simple. And then we had to go into the complexity, right? So it was, Yeah, it is very time-consuming. Sorry about that. I went on too long.
That's okay. I want to get us to some other things. There's a couple of other questions. I'm going to ask for a quick answer on the first one. You've mentioned Glynis. Someone's asking about numerology and numbers. You've mentioned Glynis's stuff before. Do you have a website or recommendation for numbers or a book that you would recommend?
Anything by Glynis McCants. Any numerology.
And just Google it's so available on the web. I would say definitely look there. Leanne, if you're listening to the call. And then I have one final question from the Facebook, and we can move on. And this is a good one. Allison asked this. She says, I was just wondering your thoughts on how to handle a situation when the person one is reading for has a dominant heady energy that essentially blocks any sharing as we are engaging then with shared wisdom. I entered into a shared reading with another established reader in Vancouver. From the get-go, however, she brought an overly patronizing tone and energy. Remained curious, observed her story in motion, just thanked her for taking the time to allow me to practice with her, even though she continuously informed me that I was supposed to be telling her, not sharing with one another. My intuition, spidey senses, comforted me, saying that she has much going on in her life and that she has chosen the challenging route of resistance. Remembering that we all have a choice helped me. Any thoughts on that, how to handle that?
Yeah. Let me tell you something. Okay. So if it was in the last week, everybody gets a hall pass. All right. So what happens is when we come into a reading and we think we know better, then that comes from totally the ego. Not at all what we're teaching you how to do here. This is about sharing, not telling. This is completely the opposite of what you just experienced. And whoever the person is, it doesn't really matter if they're in the actual school, they hope they're listening, because this is not how we do to these things. It's really important that it is not done that way, because this is a very different. When you go to a psychic, you get, like for a psychic reading in the past, when I just had that I don't let the person talk at all. This is what I see. Here is it is. They sit there passive. That's the deal. Okay, that dynamic is that type of reading. Nothing wrong with that type of reading. That's not what we're doing in here. This is different. This is a shared experience. This is combining, collaborative. This levels the playing field. What she did was completely slam you and didn't allow you to be her equal. She's not in OS, Oracle School. Yes, of course she's not in Oracle School. She is not the right person for you to be practicing with, honey. You're going to find that if you go to a reader who's going to one-up you, and then right off the bat too, it's sharing in the readings. It's different. It's like when you guys end up having, once you've got this off the ground, because we have this, the Oracle Party wisdom circles, we finally figured out it's the second thing. It's like your, you know, wisdom circle. It's in a circle. You know why there's a circle? No leader in a circle. Everybody is equal in the circle. They pass the talking stick. So she is, that's a perfect example of what not to do. And I'm so glad that was a great learning experience. Doug, do you have any thing to say to add?
About that one? No, I think you said it all. I mean, I think what I want to just acknowledge, Allison, is how you handled it. It sounds like you stayed grounded. You stayed centered. You were in that space of that's interesting. You didn't let it ruffle your feathers. And that's exactly what you should do. We often, when we are doing shared wisdom with someone, if something goes off, we immediately make it be about us, and not always is it. In fact, in many cases, it has nothing to do with you. So I really want to just acknowledge that side of the story is where you were, and you stayed in your own.
Yeah, well done.
So that's what I would add.
Oh, I think that's great. So it's better to practice right now with other Oracle Steel students or a friend. Right, who's interested in it, right? And then you share what you think you see, right? So it's just better in here. And there's nothing, obviously the patronizing piece, you felt it from her and whatever, and also came from her from fear. She was testing whether you're going to become a psychic. And again, I made my living that way, where no one was allowed to say boo to me until the very end. And then I say, do you have any questions? Do you understand this? The end, boof. And then they come back saying, oh, everything you said happened. Because that's the type of reading that is. It's not what we're teaching in Oracle School. This is something so different and so more, I think, so much more vibrant and so much more collaborative. It's so much more respectful. Not to say that the other isn't, because to be quite honest with you, I mean, I gained a very respectful reputation doing that because I was just locked into my seeing place and I didn't want them to influence me by telling me anything. So yeah, like it's just, it's a very, very different thing that we're doing in here. It's very profound. So yay you for sticking your ground in. Yeah, you know what? Like, yeah. Caca!
Okay, let's move on. Let's talk about module 6. We've got a couple of questions that have come in. I'll get to those a little bit later. But let's talk a little bit about module 6 or some of the other things we had, like Epiphany Palooza. Shall we?
Okay, Epiphany Palooza.
Epiphany Palooza.
We have a list of things we have to cover with you guys tonight. So let's Epiphany Palooza. Okay, okay. We love seeing the transformations in all of you guys. Now, if you're one of these people who's worried that everybody else is having giant-sized aha moments and you haven't had any, a lot of growth comes incrementally. Most of the time, it's looking back in hindsight after a few months that you notice the growth. It's not necessarily going to be like, oh my God, and don't forget too, some people are introverted and they aren't writing their posts in there about their epiphanies, and you go at your own speed. Like, there is no such thing as one person having a better experience than another. You're having your genuine experience. So never compare. You will always find a reason for, come on. Nobody calls me ever, like, and except during this. It's like, what? Only on a radio show where I'm in class. Oh, go away. All right. It's you know what? Yeah, who cares? Okay, so ding-a-ling-a-ling. I meant to move along now, okay?
Yes.
Move along now is why the phone rang. Okay. So here's the other piece, too. Okay, so what we want to do is just for the next 10 minutes, we're going to go over Module 6 briefly, and then we're going to spend the rest of the show, bringing up an Anna will come on also. And perfect, I love that your counselor said that. And we're going to talk to you guys about the how to make the living oracle. And then also we're open for questions and we'll get some of you up. And by the way, thank you, Ursula. I did want to mention to you how much I've appreciated your intelligent posts in the Good Tarot Room. So I just wanted to mention, shout that out to you. I saw you go by me so fast, I couldn't say anything. Okie dokie. I'll bring it together. Here we go. Oh, I love that manuscript of, oh, I want to get that. Thank you, who just posted that, another book to buy. okay, so let's talk about connecting to the collective. Do you want to talk about that, Doug?
Yeah, I'd love to. So part of what I think this, you know, part of what we do in this particular module is we talk about some other ways of looking at things. And I think I may have a dog picker upper coming into my house in just a minute behind me. So pay no attention to anyone who shows up behind me in a minute, everybody. So connecting to the collective is really about this idea. You know, when Carl Jung, Swiss psychologist, who is known for not only his psychological work and psychiatric work, but he's also known for his spiritual work as well, and his research that he did on a variety of things, from the Tarot to the I Ching to dreams. And one of the things he talked about, of course, is this idea of the collective unconscious, that which is he described it often as a fabric that we are all connected to, that connects us all. And this idea of the collective is that it holds the wisdom of all that has been and all that is and all that will be. It's all connected. And so when we talk about connecting to the collective, for me, we often talk about it's that fabric that weaves us all together. Mm-hmm. And I think it's really helpful to think about it as a fabric. For me, it is, at least, because there are nodes of connection or a network. If you're more techie and geeky, you can think of it that way. But it's all of our threads woven together in some way. And so one of the things we talk about in this particular module is how that's part of what we're doing, and we're being intentional about it. I'll talk a little bit more when we get to intentional synchronicity. But one of the ways we can, you know, connect to the collective, or one archetypal language for that is the Akashic Records. Like that, the Akashic Records is a way to connect to the collective. So, Colette, you want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. So, both Doug and I have a background in Jung. So, I never got my degree. I remember going to Hay House telling the president, "I think I need to finish my degree," and he goes, "No, you don't." I'm like, "Oh, okay." I had a big chip on my shoulder, and I never got my psychology degree because I was fascinated with Jungian psychology. And because of the active imagination piece, because he talked a lot about the collective unconscious and the collective repository of concepts, ideas, archetypes, or universal symbols that brought all of humanity together, right? And then you have the mythologist, Joseph Campbell. So, yes, I have the red book, Lynn D. Miller. I have that book. Cost me a fortune, but I got it. I got one of the first copies of it. So, and also found out that he was as nuts as I thought he was, which was awesome because I loved it. I was like, oh, you too unraveled, not just I. Anyhow, so the idea, if you could imagine, and I'd like you to imagine a library, right? So the Akashic Records symbolically represents the storage. Let's say there's little tiny pods in the fabric. If you have a storage facility for every idea that has ever been thought first, hi Chuck, first by the conscious universe in either its feminine form and the goddess culture, and then later on the more masculine dominant form, right? So you've got all kinds of ideas that have come cross-culturally from our ancestors. And then you have civilization and the things that we have thought of and things that we have built and made and identified ourselves through over the course of time. Now, none of those things go away. They are ideas, if you will. And I think Plato talked about the ideals, that there's always an ideal perfect chair. For a chair on the ground, there's the archetype of chair, right? There's an archetype of this. So this is a, imagine as well that we're always wandering around in the library. We don't really know it. We access the library when we're sleeping. We don't always know that we sleepwalked up to the library, pulled out a book, read it, and put it back and wonder what F we just did, right? So there's a sense that we want to make sense of that. So we intentionally visit such a place through meditation and just see what shows up. So we actually engage active imagination in that meditation. What are you drinking? It looks so delicious. I want some. I don't know what it is. It looks warm.
It's hibiscus mint tea with lime sparkling water.
Yummy.
I know. It's my special, magical, lovely drink.
Oh, I need that.
Sorry. Okay.
No, that's fine. So the Akashic Records, it's organizing principle of the thoughts of the universe, if you could imagine. And I'm obsessed of libraries. I love libraries. I like books about libraries. I just read a great book, which all of you need to read in your spare time. It's called The Fortune Teller. I just finished it in two nights. So fantastic. All of you will dig it. It's just fantastic. So the idea that why do we all love books? Because inside them are stories, and we are all stories in motion. I know I always said that if I got a chance to get a key to the largest library in the world and I could have any book I wanted, I could do whatever I want, or spend a weekend with Sting, or like, who else is famous? Mind you, my Idris Elba would have been hard. That would have been my favorite one. I would pick the library. I don't know about that one, but no, I would always pick the library. Fortune Teller by Gwendolyn somebody. Maybe it was Womack. I don't know, but I just finished it last night. It's so good. Is it Patty Womack? Gwendolyn Womack? So good. Such a good book. I just finished it last night. You all have to read it. So we enter into a conceptual idea that we could go and ask for information about ourselves. And it is purported that we are in the library, the scroll of everything that we were meant to be, our potential destinies, because we have many of them. Science has now proven there's at least 13 dimensions that they've now been able to say these dimensional realities are true. I'd like to always be in the one that works for me. I don't know. So we get into this idea that there is information about us, right? So that's, we go there. So it's just another way to access information about yourself. Like it's an oracle.
So if people wanted to learn more about the Akashic Records, Scarlett, where do you have a place you like to learn from, or is there any books you've read or
I've read so many obscure books about the Akashic Records, to be honest with you, that was like 30, 40 years ago when I started about them. However, I know there's more than 144 Gina Maria, but they're saying for real, there's 13 that they're admitting. I just read a scientific thing in the, I don't know, scientific journal or something. I know there's like more than, I think there's more than 144. But there is
resources.
Thank you. Just have to look up online. Thank you.
Yeah, that's what I think. I don't think we have the one thing about, we wanted to mention it in this program as kind of a framework for how you could connect to spirit and connect to the collective. And so one of the things that the meditations that Colette's created in the module are designed to help you connect to that. And it is a framework. You know, for some of us, I'll be honest, for me, I don't see a lot of things when I do connect to my intuition. So checking into the Akashic Records as a library doesn't work as well for me personally. Whereas I have thoughts come into my head and I just pay attention to the thoughts as soon as they show up. Some people are clairaudient. They hear things, you know. So for me, I find that it is just another way of connecting to the collective that we wanted to give you, kind of in some ways like the bowls of soup, although this is a much more structured framework that you can use. And go ahead.
Yeah, I want to make a comment about that because all exercises that encourage a visual can be a known. So for example, I don't see 50% of the time I see nothing, but I know the story. So when I've done this Akashic Records exercise, a couple of times I saw absolutely nothing, but I knew something. So a thought came into my head during this exercise. So the thing is, don't expect any kind of download in a specific form when you do this exercise. If you're not that visual, you'll feel frustrated. So don't expect a visual, expect a thought. Like what Gail said, you know, she's like, Doug, and I know me, it could be anything at any given moment. And don't worry if you don't see anything. I saw nothing. I did it last week and I'm like, okay, today's not a seeing day. Am I feeling anything? No. And then a little bit later it was like, oh wow, I had this whole thought. Right? So don't expect sight. Even though these are visual exercises, these are prompts, strictly prompts for a knowing, a feeling, a hearing, or a seeing. Yeah, there is an Akashic Records class online.
Yeah, there's lots of resources and different teachers, like even, you know, like everything there is. There's you ask someone what their opinion of Akashic Records is, you're going to get that many people you ask's opinion, basically.
Yeah.
So
Soul realignment is the girl that soul realignment. Yeah, do not worry about not seeing. Do not worry. Yeah, I don't see all the time at all. And sometimes I see things in technicolor.
Yeah, let's talk. We talked last week about the Kledon, and one of the things we want to tie that back to with Module 6, just as a reminder, is this idea of intentional synchronicity. So intentional synchronicity is when we set an intention about something specific. One of the things that I've done a lot of work on for myself is around what I call strategic synchronicity or intentional synchronicity. And the idea behind that is, when I'm clear about something that I'm seeking to manifest or to have in my life, whether it's when I was starting my own businesses and looking for perfect customers or starting my own or looking for a job, specific job, or candidly, even looking for that guy that just left the condo a few minutes ago,
my
boyfriend, I know you do. One of the things that I would do is I would take some very deliberate actions that were guided by my intention. And I would, the way I think of it is I'd plant them in the collective.
Yeah.
So I would plant them in the collective so that their roots could grow and reach other roots within the collective to allow for synchronicities to pop up. And I would all of a sudden, oh, look, there's a flower over there that's a perfect match for my flower over here. So how do we do that? For me, it's a journaling activity, or it's getting clear about intention.
Yes.
And then, so let's say I'm going to use the example of finding a perfect partner, a perfect mate. For me, I would say write down on a piece of paper, what are the things that I want from my perfect mate? And I'd write that list down, and I'd look at that list, and every time I'd meet, go on a date with somebody, they would either be the person on that list, or they would be something for me to write down on that list that I had forgotten about.
Yeah. Like,
doesn't chew food with mouth open, write that down on a list, or whatever it is, right? And so the idea is then I am being intentional about my thought process around that. I am being clear about it. And then I'm starting to, like a Cleedon, I ask a question, I go out and look, I now have that in my mind. I know what I'm looking for. Mm-hmm. And when I'm out there dating other folks and I'm connecting with people or looking for perfect customers, and by the way, when I've done this with customers, my biggest aha is when I've had to fire customers. No, you're not a good fit for my business. You're not a type of customer that I want to be working with. Because when we do that, the clearer we can be, the more we're sending that message into the collective to create the flower. Again, the garden blooms on the other side of the world potentially, but it's that's the flower we're looking for to connect with. Colette, anything you want to add to that?
Yeah, and I feel the list writing is really important, and being intentional about what you want to put out in the day. Lately, since this has been a difficult Mercury retrograde, and since last weekend when, you know, we had some bumps, every day now I say, what could go right today? That's my first intention. So what could go right today? And why not me? What could go right? What could go awesome today? And I'd so start to look for that. What could go right today? And so that's a simple way to ignite intentional synchronicity, because you're going here, like, okay, they're having a good day. Why not me? What's going to go right for me today? Like, my husband is just an irritating optimist. It's great. I mean, I'm very up and down, although I teach all this and I can be very, you know, detached, of course, but he's always in a good mood. He's like, always, everything is fine. What are you worried about? I'm like, oh, my school, right? And so it's like, what could go right? What could be beautiful? And then, you know, when you're looking for intentionally looking to manifest something, that's what Doug was saying, is putting down all those aspects that are important and not right, and not settling. That's the other thing. Don't settle. You don't need to settle. Nobody needs to settle. Oh, is that Gina Marie, eternally optimistic at Gmail? That's so irritating, optimist occasionally me.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Yes.
And I think too, folks, I mean, one of the things that this is about is it's don't be afraid to retrofit your intentions, right? If your intentions need to adjust, like for me, in that process of intentional synchronicity, there are times when I had to say, oh, wait a minute, I forgot. Yeah, no, I don't want that.
Right.
Or I do want this, you know, so make the adjustments. But it's about being intentional. Part of this whole process that we've been going through in Oracle School is about, you know, reminding us about our co-creative partnership with Spirit. This is now getting to that place of being really intentional in that partnership and really with bringing it to a close, if you will, in our conversation. So anyway, just a thought. I thought about that, Holly.
No, it's not just a thought. It's an important thought, because this is something that these guys are going to be working on, right? So we still have half an hour to go through this with them. We have plenty of time. I think that's really, really important about adjusting the list. And I love your message of retrofitting your list. Because certain things I thought I wanted, I now realize I don't need those things, right? I don't need things to be this way, right? It's like, you're like, ooh, yeah, no, I don't need that. Pack it up. So let's talk about talismans and rituals and lunar cycles quickly. And then the rest of the time, we're going to show you, we're going to get Anna up here. We're going to share Doug's screen. And we're going to talk you through this amazing thing, and we're going to actually do some readings for you guys. So it'll get a little
Let's go.
Let's do this. Do this thing. So did Anna send you the link?
I've got everything. I'm ready to go whenever.
Right. Let's get Anna up here.
Do you want to talk about talismans and rituals and lunar cycles?
Yeah, sorry. That was fast. I just thought you'd just suck it out of my head. Right?
I'll get Anna up when we're ready.
No. I'm in the future.
Yes, you are.
I just moved along. Okay. Well, I don't know. You guys should have just known what I was thinking.
Colette is the definite. In the dictionary, Colette's picture is there where it says story in motion. She's a story in motion.
Or I'm like the squirrel from over the hedge. Oh. Okay. So integrating our lessons. When we create a talisman, an object, we make an object, like this is my talisman. I don't know if you see this little emperor penguin guy. Okay, this is my talisman for writing, believe it or not. This is my talisman. When I look at this, it means a lot to me. It says a lot to me. It means that I can take it, make it soft. I don't have to be hard. I don't have to be hard on myself. So I bought something that's a little, you know, he's got the little, what do you call them, the beans on the bottom. He's a beanie baby. So that's a talisman for me. Something I make was a talking stick as a talisman. Right? So we can have many, many things that represent a talisman. This is a talisman for abundance. I'll show it to you. It's actually a soapstone. It's a buffalo, right? It's a soapstone buffalo. It's a Zuni soapstone buffalo that is, it's called a Kachina, I think. Yeah, be the buffalo. Exactly. Thank you, Barb. So when I look at the buffalo, I bring... just saw her own concert. I don't know who got to, right? So the idea that we have this connection to an object that means something to us. It also represents crystallized wisdom. So that's why it's like you carry a stone that tells you something. So it just helps you remember that this thing is important. Rituals are always important because they signal the universe that this thing that you are doing is sacred. This thing that you are doing is sacred.
Yeah. So allow yourself at the end of certain processes when you're doing work on yourself, or in some cases when you're sharing wisdom with someone else, it may be that you're led to co-create a ritual or a talisman together. Maybe you take something that's come up and write something down and burn it, or put it in one of the ones I love that you've done, Colette, is you know taking certain angry things and putting them in water and putting them in the freezer to freeze it, to take the fire out of it. So there's lots of possibilities that, you know, when we think about rituals and talismans can represent something that can remind us of an aha, remind us. And I often think of them as, I think of the Canadian First Nations tradition and the Inuit tradition of Inukshuks, which are the stone creatures that you see, the rocks stacked as if they were a person. And the place markers, yes. And what I think of them is these Inukshuks is that they're there to say we were there.
We were there.
And we can put that flag in the ground, or that rock in the ground in this case, these rocks, to say we were there. This happened. And so when I look at that, like I have, you guys can't see it, it's a little too big, but I have a bookend that has a wizard sitting on books with a crystal ball as a always in my view whenever I'm working. My CEO for the company I work for gave that to me because that's who he saw me to be 12 years ago. So that is like someone else saw me as the wizard, which before even Colette and I started doing a lot of our work together, as much as we are, that was something that I had been that I have. So that's a talisman that for me I hold. It reminds me of who I am. And rituals can also remind us of that we've been somewhere, that we've done something. So just some ways to think about that.
Yeah. The other thing I would say too, somebody asked the difference between a talisman and a sigil. Sigils are, they're drawn. And they are like, if you want a great idea for a sigil, if you want to create a sigil, is having an intentional synchronicity sigil, S-I-G-I-L. And then instead of having the statement, you make an image. So you might see like a square with squiggles in it. That would represent the energy of the thing that you want to manifest. They use sigils in something called talismanic magic. You don't want to mess with that, you guys. I accidentally opened up a portal. Althea had to come over all the way up to my house in Canada to get rid of it. We had to bury it somewhere. Don't even go there. Don't even look it up. Yeah. Oh my God. It was actually pretty funny. I had holy water from the Chalice Well Garden in England that I didn't want to spill because I loved it so much. She goes, "What do you think it's for?" So it was pretty funny. I'm like, I think something weird is happening with this thing I drew.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway.
No, I want to get to the readings.
Everybody's having a good time.
It is.
Lunar cycle, full moon spread, new moon spread. You guys have it in your thing. Okay, let's start. So we have 25 minutes and let's Yeah, I've got some stories for you. One day you guys will sit around. It's funny. Okay,
I'm going to bring up Anna.
Bring up Anna.
Once I find her. Yep, and then if you would like to have a reading with the Living Oracle tonight, now is a good time for you to raise your hand.
Yep.
So we'd like to know that you would like to have that be there. So we're going to bring that up, and I'm going to share a screen. There she is.
Isn't it fun being in Oracle School?
It's so much fun.
I heard you did a great job in the other group, and these guys are going to get the benefit of you.
Yes.
As we move into the next section, you're going to get a chance. Ooh, wow, look at that. How does that work?
Yes.
Just like that.
Okay, so we're going to explain this. So let me explain this part.
Yep.
So the randomizer, it's called random.org. You guys should all write this down.
You don't even need to write it down. If you just Google random number, that's what pops up right there. You could use it.
Right. So up there, you see the minimum is 1 and the maximum is, in this case, is 447. How many Oracle messages are in the Oracle now?
447.
Okay. Thank you.
I did my homework.
Doug, that's amazing. Look at you. You're just like it. So according to how many are in the Oracle, and so you need to fill it up a little bit, you guys. Once everybody has placed something in there, it's like everybody's got to put it in there within a week. Everybody's got to go do something and cram it all in the next couple of weeks, and then you can start. So we want to get, and then here's how it looks, okay? So let's just pick one, Doug. Just pick one from the random.
I am. I'm going to pick this one right here, which is number 6. And it was a past event card. I'm just going to bring it up. Things are a little slow today for some reason.
And it's okay. It's not about cards, you guys, right? It's a piece of art that represents what your message means. So basically, it's like you're creating your own oracle card. So it can be a picture, a photograph you've taken. It can be a picture you found on the web. It could be like something that this person did, like she took a picture of something, that all this like little collage, and then you upload it with your message. So the message says here, soulmate, once I looked for love on the outside and still felt incomplete. As I evolve, what shows up in alignment with where I am? What shows up is in alignment with where I am. True partnership in my real home and an authentic tribe. Love is an inside job. So if you picked that number, you would have gotten that as your message. Now, it just so happened to be created by somebody else in the class about their feelings. They tuned in on a message that they felt was pertinent. So we are all one. This is where we're proving the unified field principle and the collective unconscious by creating this oracle for everybody. So you want to, Anna, do you have anything you want to add?
When you number it, you're always going to number it, you know, the following number that's there. Then when you hit enter, you're going to refresh your screen, because if someone hit enter at the same exact time, you're going to have the same exact number. So yeah. If you refresh your screen, you'll see you have the same number. Just edit it. That's all you have to do.
Right.
You know, and you can edit it. You see there's 3 little dots on the side of each one. If Doug goes and hovers over, you see the 3 little dots. If you click there, it'll give you the option to edit.
Yeah, I don't think I can see it because I don't think I'm an admin in that space. But
no, you're
can...
there. It says remove or report.
Oh, yeah, there it is. Yeah, right? I can't edit it because it's not mine.
Right.
They can
edit. You'll be able to edit it. That's right.
But it's those little 3 dots that they'll be using to edit.
Yep.
Right.
Okay, right. So let's bring someone up and let's do – and you will only see one classroom. This is the other one. So –
Gina Maria was like, how do we see both as shared wisdom classrooms? We're peeking. Cynthia Fontaine, what, you are confused about this. No, don't worry. Don't be confused. We're using this as to show people how it works because you guys have never seen it before. Cynthia, you and Right. So you'll see what we do. There's instructions. We're just showing what people have done in the other class. They've built it on 447 messages. Then you choose a randomizer that will tell you what number to look up. Then you scroll through and you find the number. Actually, Cynthia, you come on up. Let's just do it for Cynthia.
And while you get Cynthia up, it's what we are showing because a lot of people were asking me about it. So we thought we would show you what it actually looks like so you guys have a better idea of what you're doing.
Right.
I thought we feel like it'll eliminate a lot of confusion.
Exactly. So, and these guys did it all from scratch based on my epiphanous moment in time when I realized we're going to build a living oracle, because I'd never built one either. It was an experiment. That's why it's called the Shared Wisdom Oracle Extravaganza Experiment, right? Yes. No poem. No poem, Stella. It has to be a short message, like an oracle message, with a picture. So it's a poem would not be an oracle message.
Okay, so let's bring some people up first to talk about just how it feels to use it, and then Anna?
Yes, I just about the poem. If you wanted to put a poem as your piece of art, that would be okay, you have to include the oracle.
Okay, right.
So it would be like, because there are some poems in this oracle that you're looking at, but they took a picture of their poem and then they wrote their oracle with it.
Because it's not either or, it's this and that. So if you, yes, right. The poem can't be the message, the poem can be the picture, correct?
Right, the poem, it can be the creation.
We'll try it. Okay, so let's just try it. Where's Cynthia? Our confused, fabulous Cynthia. Let's get her down and on up here.
She's promoted to a panelist.
Yeah.
Of course. I'm like, no makeup today. My hair is a mess.
Me too, Cynthia. You're good, sister. Don't worry.
So here is how we're going to do this. So you're going to have a question that you want to know about, right? So you'll just choose a subject. And then, or you can just say, what do I need to know right now?
Okay. I'm terrible with coming up with questions. What do I need to know right now?
What does Spirit want to share with me right now? Okay, good. Okay, so now we have a number generator. And Doug just generated it, and 56 is the number. So he's now going to look up the number 56 in this living oracle. And the reason we call it a living oracle is because everybody keeps adding to it. They're adding their epiphanies and their feelings. And then the message is, it's like a living big giant Cleidon machine.
Okay. Okay? Yeah, I tried following it in the integration room, and I couldn't get it.
Okay.
Sometimes my brain just goes, "Argh."
All right. So let's see who's number 56.
Dum dum dum.
So the number, the one we're building it, are we going to build our own in shared wisdom?
Here it is. Yeah.
Yes, we're going to build our own.
Okay. Embrace the wolf within. Find a courage to break away from the pack and be who you are meant to become, your authentic self. Don't be afraid to stand alone. Hold your high head high and stand your ground. Be teachable and aware to whom you are placing your trust. Does that resonate?
Absolutely resonates.
I was going to say. How many of us need to say, do you think?
Do you think? Right?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. And the wolf is actually one of my spirit animals.
Okay, see, so this is how it works. So everybody writes something according to the instructions in lesson 5, in module 5. It tells you what you're supposed to ask, right? And then like past, present, future, you're answering questions in there, and then you're putting the answers on that. Your answers on that becomes an oracle message for someone else.
Oh.
Now you got it, right?
I think I got it now.
Yes.
I was trying to say it out myself, and I was so confused. I said, "Oh, forget it. I'm just not doing it."
That's because you're mentoring in there. You're supposed to be doing it, or whichever. I don't know which one you're mentoring in, but yeah, that's how it comes.
Because I was mentoring in that one last time. Yeah.
Yeah. So in this one, it's really important that now you're starting from scratch and you're seeing how we're building it.
Right. Right. Okay. Cool. I think I got it now.
Okay. Good. Let's get somebody else up here.
Thanks, Cynthia.
Thanks, Cynthia. Love you.
Thanks. Love you too. Love you guys. Mwah.
Mwah. Okay, I think I may have just done the wrong person. I did. I'll get it back. Colette, you pick a name while I get Anna back.
Yep. Okay, I'll just get in there in the participants. Oh, what did I do? Participants. Okay, where is the participants list?
So, Debbie, your question, will ours be added to theirs? No, we're going to create our own in our own Facebook group, Debbie. So you will have our own. We're showing you what the last class did to give you an example to play with. So,
Erin Briggs, E-R-I-N Briggs, B-R-I-G-G-S.
Got it, Erin. All right, we're making you, promoting you here to panelists. So video and audio is coming on. There she is. Hello, Erin. Hey.
Yay!
Okay, what question do you have, Erin?
Okay, so I'm going to go with the theme today. I was working module 4. What is my story in motion regarding my clarity of intention?
Ooh, you're a good student.
All right.
310. Not that don't compare. I'm not singling her out. It's only because I want her earrings.
Ooh, you like those?
Oh, yeah. I love your earrings. Thank you. So we're looking for number 300. Look at how cool the pictures are.
Oop, went a little too far. Here we go. All right. There it is from Pat Cunningham.
Ooh.
Confusion. Is that at 310?
Yeah, confusion and overwhelm.
Go ahead. You read it.
Colette. With so many thoughts in my mind, I find it difficult to focus on what is true for me. It is important to find ways of connecting that calm my mind and allow the distractions to release. I look for new connections and new ways to hear.
Wow. I'm speechless.
Tell us what resonates with you, Erin. What is it about that card?
It is the confusion and the thoughts in my mind. That is where the clarity of intention, I don't always, I have a hard time getting out of my head. It's really, really, and my mind can be a distraction, and just the, it's like magpie mind, I call it. Magpies are always collecting shiny things. So that's what I call that state of mind for me, is magpie mind.
So the message in the message is to find a way that when you're like that, instead of folks trying to grab an intention, which is the shiny thing, right?
Yeah.
Is to get still and allow it to arrive. And
receptivity
in us, right? So it's the opposite. So this is really good information for you to find that, which is to go back to finding peace, stillness, getting grounded, and not paying attention to the monkeys and magpies.
Indeed. Cool.
Excellent.
Thank you.
All right. Do it again.
All right.
Do it again. Do it again. Do it again now. Do it again.
This is so much fun. I love this so much.
Okay. Who's next, Colette?
Okay, Gail from Colorado.
All right, Gail from Colorado, here you come.
Last week too. I don't know. Is it Gail from Colorado? Yes, it is.
It is Gail from Colorado.
The spirit must want you on these calls all the time, because I always do it like a roulette wheel, and then I do it twice, and your name came twice. So I'm like, okay, two times, it's you.
Well, it might be because I just am so slow at all this stuff. I'm taking my time.
Excellent. Can we do this all night? Barb says no.
So Gail, what's your question?
My question is, what does Spirit want me to know about my career direction?
Okay, 138. So let's pull down to 138.
These are messages that are coming from the class that there's two shared wisdom classes going on right now. There's another one going on as well that we started in the fall. So this is what they've built, and they're still going. They're in their integration phase right now, and that's why, because we can show you, that's why we're doing it with theirs. And we're showing you how we're all connected. Look at these amazing
pictures.
Just amazing.
All right. Here we go. Right there with Joanne. 138, Colette.
Okay, I have to go right like this since I can't see it. When your path seems a bit in upheaval and the journey is dreary, take heart, for your inner spark with the divine will always give protection and enlighten your path.
Cool.
Yeah, so I feel like it's saying to you're trying too hard. You know what I mean? Like, you don't need to push forward. So it's okay. Whatever it is, just breathe. It's like there's a little frog. Look at him. There he is, a little thing. It's like, it's raining today. Right? Just like basically let it happen.
Yeah. Okay. I like that. That definitely works. And I like that it says it will enlighten my path.
That's right.
Yeah, I also connect to the language of inner spark too, Gail. I had the opportunity to hear a speaker recently who talked about cluttering and cleaning up our houses and stuff. It's kind of an interesting, odd talk I hadn't found myself in. But one thing she says, if it doesn't spark joy, it shouldn't be in your home. And that phrase came to mind when I was thinking about you and your work. What sparks joy? What's your inner spark when it comes to your work? So something to think about.
And have a talisman that means that spark too. You can get something going like, that's how I want to feel.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Great. Thanks, Gail.
Thank you.
I love this. Everybody's getting cleat-ons. Okay, next person. Anna, do you want to pick them or do you want me to pick them?
No, you pick them. I just want to say, because we do have a couple of questions, you're going to be building yours on the file that I have that's up already, and it is called the Oracle Extravaganza. And right now I have it closed, so for commenting until tomorrow, I'm going to open it and you'll be able to start building it. Okay? Yeah. We're building our own.
And as many as you want. I think that was the other thing. I like the idea to start with three or four, like one, that's also good.
Yes.
But like those guys have been adding. The ones who were really keen on it kept adding. So it's almost at 500 now. So, right? Yes. Think about it. If each one of you did three, we would have 600 oracles to choose from, and you'll see how it works.
Right. And you don't have to wait until you have all of yours done. Put them up as you do them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Don't wait till three are finished. Cheryl Starmer still doesn't get it. So I think you just have to watch how everybody is doing it. You'll have to catch on that way, because I don't know that we can explain it to you any better.
Well, didn't we have the questions, Anna? So what's one of the questions that we ask people to do? And it's a message from the past. Is that right?
Yeah. First you have to start with last week's home play.
It's in there. It's actually
It has, because it's in two parts, and I have it explained in the files there. And it's two parts. You start with the part that's for your journal, answering the questions. And then there's the part where you're going to create your oracle. You're going to make from what you've written in your journal. If you were going to give somebody an oracle, what would that be?
Right. If you were going to talk about reconnecting to your family. Yeah, if you haven't done last week's home play, it won't make any sense. So if you've done last week's home play or last module in module 5, you will know what this is. But don't worry, you're not going to wander around too confused. It will make sense as soon as you start seeing people posting it in there. But it's really here. It's so easy to show you this. This is the other groups. And she did. Okay, so Cheryl, you just have to watch. And maybe if you're more visual, and once people actually start putting it up, you'll get a hang of it a little bit better.
Yeah, because you're just basically putting a comment on Anna's post. And your comment mm-hmm. has a photo with some text that is the oracle. So we might think of it as the pearl. What you're not doing is sharing your process, same way we've talked about it before. You're sharing the pearl.
You're sharing the pearl. Actually, you know what, Doug? How about we go to the regular page, their page, and let's make a fake one, right? Like, Anna, you can open up for posting, and you can post one. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, pick up a picture and just add a little lamp or something so that they see what we mean. So that means, Doug, you'll open it up at the other, in there. Yeah, just so we show them. I mean, these guys did that all with just me telling them my idea, and then they built it based on me prompting them. Oh, Cheryl Starman, look at how.
I know. Look, there she is.
So
there
pretty. There we are.
All right.
Yeah. Well, it's so tiny.
Hold on, I'm going in on my computer, on my other computer.
All right, so it is actually in files, Doug. If you go to files, there we go. And Living Oracle Extravaganza, that one.
Yes.
Okay, and this is what Anna did. And then, now right now you can't post. So so she put everything you're supposed to putting in there, in your journal. Everything you need to know about this is right there. And then Anna scroll, keep scroll. Oh, no, Doug will scroll, right? And then it says creating oracle. Your three topics. See how easy it is to follow this? So, Cheryl, if you have any trouble, this is exactly step by step. And what Anna will do right now is just do a dummy post to show you. So, Doug, if you move it all the way down to where the posting is. So,
and it gives Anna, all the instructions there.
Right there. See, Anna, I have turned off commenting. Now, nobody jump on there yet. So only Anna is going to post in there right now.
Hold on. Give me a minute. You surprised me.
Yeah, I know.
But the idea is for you to pick a piece of art that you either create or that you find that symbolizes your pearl. So as Anna's doing that, just as a reminder, right in your journal up here, it says always start with journaling. Mm-hmm. So once you've gone through that module, look at a significant event from the past that influenced you. Then current vision of your story emotion, and then a vision of your future. Pull some cards for each of these to see what are the lessons, what are the pearls that these three mm-hmm. stories tell for you. This event from your past, this current vision, and your vision of the future, so that you have a pearl for each of these three times. That's why you'll see when the Living Oracle that we were working on, some people had past or current vision or future. They're just a label that says that's where it came from. And the idea behind it then is you have the pearl that you can kind of say what you go to the next step from each of these to say what actually is the oracle. What would the card say? And what's the artistic expression for that card? And that's what these next set of steps walk you through completely.
So just to clarify, Doug and Anna, we do have a call next week.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I know, because Lee said we don't have a call. We have a call the first week of every month. So we do have a call next week. And we'll
it's
go
our first integration call.
Yeah, it's our first integration call. So we obviously are going to still talk to you guys about this again. Yeah.
And I will be constantly guiding you and helping. It's only confusing right at the beginning. You'll catch on really quickly.
Yeah, those guys, they all scratched their heads too. And
they didn't get to see what it looked like.
Because they didn't
I'm trying to get to the post.
It was just an experiment that I came up with, and I thought, how, I wonder if we could do this. And I had no idea it was going to work. So, but I knew, I did enough readings on it, knowing that this is worth trying. I want to see. It was an experiment in basically Cledons. it's like, oh yeah, Cheryl, everybody got a little confused in the beginning. So, and definitely don't call yourself a dummy.
No dummy.
No dummy here. It's just, it's a little bit easier for people to, that can just look at the structure and go boom, 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 boom. And it is, it's creative imagination in action, active creative imagination. Yeah, see an example. So, Anna, just show them, make a post. And
okay, I'm coming. I finally found it. It wouldn't let me. I had to do it the long way. Hold on a minute.
Yeah.
I'm going to turn on commenting.
Yeah.
And then, okay, so the commenting is on, but Doug is sharing his screen, so I don't know if Doug wants to
refresh his screen.
Yeah, I can do
not
that.
Refresh his screen. Yeah,
there it
Hold
is.
On.
There it is. There it yes, is. Yeah. There's Doug. Dougie Wuggy.
Now I'm going to take that out.
And then Anne is going to comment.
Okay, hold it. Give me a second. I'm going to look up and put a pretend picture there. Well, a real picture, but I'm going to pretend. I'm going to make an oracle about it.
Yeah.
Do. Took me a minute,
so
guys.
So while you're doing that, Anne, I'm going to talk about the generator.
Perfect.
So
go ahead.
When you have a set of cards, we have to figure out which card to pull because you can't shuffle these in your hand. You have numbers. So now, however many cards we have, if we have or oracle entry, shall we say, and that will change over time. So part of what you will do is you'll find out what the highest one is. You come in to Google, and my recommendation is you either go to Google and just type in generate a random number, and it'll bring you to this screen that Google will just show up for you right here. Mm-hmm. And so I could say if we have 100 cards, I can just type it in here, and then I click the generate button, and it's like pick a number. We're telling Google, pick a number between 1 and 100, Google.
Right. Right?
And so in this case, for the one we've been working with, I had 447. And I can just do that. So after I ask the question, I pick my card. And that number tells me which I'm wanting to go to.
And we don't start we don't start this until we have 100. That's the other thing. So that's why I want you guys all to get working on this, because we're not going to actually start working with the Oracle until they're 100 posts. All right. So that's why you're just going to keep posting, doing your other work. It might take a couple of weeks. Once there's 100 on there, and then it keeps going, and every day you go check it. 100 and up is when we start to use it. So,
And if for some reason you can't get this to work, as Colette mentioned earlier, there is a website called random.org. That's not the website it should go to. This is the website it should go to. And you could just type in the numbers right here. So you can type in 1 to 447, hit generate, and you get a number. So I like the Google one, but both of these do the exact same thing, and they're really simple to use. So whatever you
got. All right. We are done, everybody. I hope you've enjoyed this. Thanks, Anna.
Okay.
Oh, did you put your post? Oh, sorry. Wait.
I was about to. I'm not going to write anything. I'm just going to hit post, because then it'll appear. You see?
And then now,
yeah. See, so I just basically I put the picture in. I was going to write something, but we're out of time. You get the gist.
Exactly. And nobody is allowed to reply to them. That's the other one. There's no replies. You don't. You're not allowed to. You can like it. You can heart it. You cannot say anything to it because it throws off the balance. But that's exactly how that would work.
Oh yeah. If you can't, and if I need you to, you know, fix it, I will tag you and let you know. Because sometimes we make mistakes. We post double numbers. Don't delete, because as soon as you delete, you throw off all the numbers.
Yeah, you leave it there. You just edit. You don't delete your post.
You just edit it.
Yeah.
Right. I'm going to stop sharing, guys.
Perfect. Okey-dokey. So let's just do a really quick rolling in our hands. We're going to do this with our hands tonight. We're going to just imagine that the energy of the universe, all the love in the universe is between our hands as we move them together like this. And when I want you to go like this, once they're all nice and visibly, like, and I want you to just go make a ball and imagine that inside that ball is a big, giant, giant, giant ball of sparkling light and energy. And in it is all your best wishes and all the best thoughts that you've ever had, knowing that everything that you desire is something other people can desire too, which is good relationships, good food, kindness, compassion, prosperity, purpose, pleasure, happiness, joy, giggles, whatever it is. I want you to send it into the room and it'll be all over everybody by blowing it. Yay! Well, that feels, I always love the feeling of the sparkles. All right, guys, next Tuesday is our call at 7 o'clock, like it always is, 7 o'clock Eastern, Tuesday night. Feels very strange today. Today's energy was strange for you. Very strong. Oh, strong. Yes, yes. It feels strong, not strange. I was like, strange. I'm like, okay. Mercury retrograde. All right, guys. Thank you. Thank you, Anna. Thank you, Doug.
Bye, guys.
Thank you all.
Bye, guys. I love this. Oh, we're still here.
I'm ending it.